بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم.
An explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed.
آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون.
Presented by Abu Hasnain Murtaza Khan.
قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين.
Produced and distributed by Knowledge, Books and Audio.
What is the belief of Ta'ifatu Mansura? What is the belief of that group that will be victorious? Who cling to those teachings? Who are those victorious people? The companions asked the question, Man hum ya Rasulullah? Who are they, O Prophet of Allah? Qala ma ana alayya al-yawm wa ashabi. What I am upon today and what my companions upon today. That is the group of people who will be victorious. Indeed, you will follow the methodology and the way and the path of the people that came before you. Until if one of them was to go into a lizard's hole, you would go down into the lizard hole as well. Qalu faman? Qala al-yahudu wa nasara. None other than the Jews and the Christians. And another narration, Arum wa Faris, the Romans and the Persians. The hadith is clear, وَكُلُّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Every single newly affaired is a bid'ah. And every single bid'ah and every single innovation is a misguidance, and every form of misguidance is nothing but inside the fire. 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 Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا من سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we come to the conclusion of the durus of Kitab al-Tawheed, the study of the topic of al-Tawheed. And many of the ulama concluded that the majority of discussion of the ayat inside the Quran are nothing less but talking about Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So truly it is a great blessing that in the month of Ramadan that we get to complete this topic, talking about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We stopped on the conclusion of what is al-bid'ah, what is innovation, the opposite of the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to close with the final discussion here by the Shaykh, Mawqif al-Ahlu Sunnah, or Ummatul Islamiyah, the stance of the Islamic Ummah towards the Mubtadi'ah, the people who are the innovators, and the manhaj of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah fi rad alayhim, and the methodology of the people of the Sunnah and the Jama'ah of their refutation of such people who follow the way of innovations. And we find that forever you'll find Ahlu Sunnah يَرُدُّونَ عَلَىٰ أَحْلُ الْبِدْعَةِ, that the way of the people of Sunnah is to refute the innovators and the innovations. And this is not a new call, because many people feel that this is a new concept whereby people are refuting the people of innovation. This is something which was previously present even during the glorious years, the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. You find them refuting people who began to develop innovations inside their belief and inside their actions. As you find, an Ummi Darda qala dakhala alayya Abu Darda, that my husband Abu Darda, he entered upon me in a state of anger. فَقُلْتُ لَهُ مَا لَكَ. And I stated to him, what is the matter with you? فَقَالَ وَاللَّهِ مَا أَعْرَفُ فِيهِمْ شَيْئًا مِنْ أَمْرِ مُحَمَّدٍ إِلَّا أَنَّهُمْ يُصَلُّونَ جَمِيعًا. I don't know anything of their affairs of theirs, which is close to the teachings of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, except for their praying congregation. We are 1400 years beyond that. Abu Darda is stating about these people that the only thing left of these people which is close to the Sunnah, the actions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is because they pray in congregation. Apart from that, the masses of their actions are against the Sunnah. So this is the first evidence that even in the time of the companions, they would refute the people who are Ahlul Bid'ah, the people who follow innovations. He is highlighting it clearly that these people have got nothing or not close to the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Another clear hadith or a clear statement that we find about the refuting of the innovators is an Amr or an Umar ibn Yahya qal, Sami'tu Abi yuhaddith an Abihi qal, Kunna najlis ala bab Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. We used to sit at the door of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, qabla salatul ghada, before salatul dhuhr. Now here you find al-fawa'id from this hadith, as we read through this hadith, the benefits or istimbab, the extractions of this hadith. Kunna najlis ala bab Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. We would sit at the door of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This is the first after ikhlas, juhud of talab al-ilm. You should sit at the doors of knowledge. As the ulama highlight, you should go to the bi'r. You should go to the well. The well does not come to you. The well is always stagnant and in one location. You should travel, make juhud, make struggle to go to that well to extract that benefit. As for in today's day and age, people have to come to you. And this is a way against the way of classical ilm. You should seek where the knowledge is and go and seek that benefit. In Western concepts of knowledge, you would travel far and wide to gain that knowledge and that understanding from people. But when it comes to talab al-ilm al-shar'i, then we want it to be at our doorstep, to be easily accessible in front of us. So this is the first fa'idah of this hadith, is that kunna najlis ala bab Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. We would sit at his door. It's a sign that they would not knock on the door of the sheikh. Would wait there until he would come out. Until he had made his rest and he came out towards them or came out for the salah. فَإِذَا خَرَجَ مَشَيْنَا مَعَهُ. If he came out, we would walk with him. The second fa'idah of this narration, of this athar we find, if he came out, we would walk with him. The way of the ulama, or talabul ilm, is people do not walk behind you, people do not walk in front of you, they walk beside you. So there's no distinction. As for today, you find that people walk in front of the ulama, or walk behind them, trailing behind them. Kunna, yani namshi, or mashayna ma'ahu. We would walk beside him, and be discussing with him. Is another fa'idah, a benefit that we learn from this narration. فَإِذَا خَرَجَ مَشَيْنَا مَعَهُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ فَجَاءَنَا أَبُو مُوسَى الْأَشْعَرِ. So we walked until we came to the masjid, and then we find Abu Musa al-Ash'ari came many upon us. So we find that this is a notable companion. So now they're waiting for him to join this gathering of gang towards the masjid and praying their salah there. فَقَالَ أَخَرَجَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَبُو عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ. And he stated, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, he comes, he states, has Abu Musa al-Ash'ari come out? And he states, no. قُلْنَا لَا. فَجَلَسَ مَعْنَا حَتَّى خَرَجْ. Then he sat with us as well. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari is a notable companion. He can go and knock on the door of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and tell him to come out. He is his sahib, a good friend of his. But yet he has adab, that he doesn't knock on the door, he sits with them and waits for Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to come out as well. Is another extraction of this hadith. That some people think that they can have a preference over other people in entering upon the noble or the people of the Salihin. Yet he shows them etiquette as well, that he is still waiting for Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to come out, and then he will discuss and walk with them as well, and show no favoritism towards Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, or the opposite, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to show favoritism to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. فَلَمَّا خَرَجَ قُمْنَا إِلَيْهِ جَمِيعًا. And then when he came out, we all stood up together, and we went towards him. فَقَالَ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ آنِفًا أَمْرًا أَنْكَرْتُهُ. They stated, Ya Abu Abdurrahman. This was the kunya of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. His pet name was Abu Abdurrahman. And his full name is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So he states that we saw an affair inside the masjid, ankartuhu, that was despicable to me, disliked to me. I saw the people doing an action inside the masjid which was displeasing to me. Walam ara walhamdulillah illa khaira. And I did not see anything except for goodness. وَقَالَ مَا هُوَ. What did you see these people doing? قَالَ إِنْ عِشْتَ فَسَتَرَاهُ. If you live, you will see it. Look at the belief of the Sahaba. Maybe a few seconds or a few minutes away from the actual halaqa, from the gathering. But yet he's stating to him, reminding him, فَإِنْ عِشْتَ. If you live long enough, you will get to see it for yourself. That is maybe possible that before you even make it there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may lift you up. So this is the way of the Sahaba, that they're reminding one another of the concept of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ رَأَيْتُ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ قَوْمًا. I saw in the masjid people inside circles. حَلَقًا or حِلَقًا. Sitting in groups or in circles. يَنْتَذِرُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. Waiting for the salah. Whilst they're waiting for the salah, and in every single group or circle, there is a rajul who is standing there, a man who is standing there. وَفِي أَيْدِيهِمْ حَصَى. Inside their hands is some stones or some pebbles. فَيَقُولْ كَبِّرُ مِيَا. One of them states, say Allahu Akbar 100 times. فَيُكَبِّرُونَ مِئَةً. And then they begin to make the takbir 100 times. فَيَقُولْ هَلِّلُوا مِئَةً. Then a person says, say La ilaha illallah 100 times, so they repeat that. فَيَقُولْ سَبِّحُوا مِئَةً. Say Subhanallah, and they state that 100 times. فَقَالْ فَمَاذَا قُلْتَ لَهُمْ. What did you say to them? So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is highlighting, why are you waiting for me? What did you say to these people when you saw them doing this action? On face value, what is the action that they are doing? Say Allahu Akbar 100 times. Say La ilaha illallah 100 times. Say Subhanallah 100 times. On an external basis, anybody who saw this action will think this is khair. This is a form of praise, of tahmid, of tahleel, of takbir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet they saw this as an innovation. فَقَالَ مَا قُلْتُ لَهُمْ شَيْئًا. I did not say anything to them, intadaran ra'yuka, except for waiting for your opinion. Waiting for you to give hukum or judgment upon such people. Or waiting for your command. Afala amartahum an ya'iddu sayyi'atihim. Did you not tell these people to count their sins? And I am a guarantor or a guarantee for these people, an la yudi'a min hasanatihim shay. That nothing amongst their good deeds will be wiped away. Why didn't you tell these people to count their sins instead of sitting there counting the pebbles and counting the stones and making praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And let them know for a fact that the good deeds that they do will not be wasted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let your iman go to waste. And here the meaning of iman, according to ulama of tafsir, is as-salah. Your salah will not go to waste. So any good action that you do will not go waste by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is best for you to count your sins and to feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you full reward of the good actions that you do. So we find, ثُمَّ مَضَى وَمَضَيْنَ مَعَهُ. Then we walk towards this circle, and we all walk together, حَتَّى أَتَى, until they came to the circle, amongst our circles. فَقَالَ مَا هَذَا الَّذِي أَرَاكُمْ تَصْنَعُونَ. What is this that I see you doing? What are these actions that I see that you are doing here together? They stated to Ya Abu Abdurrahman, O Abu Abdurrahman, these are pebbles or stones. Na'iddu bihi takbir. With them we count the takbir. We say Allahu Akbar. We say La ilaha illallah. We say the tasbih subhanallah. And we say Alhamdulillah. Qala fa'iddu sayyi'atikum. He stated to them that fa'iddu sayyi'atikum. Count your sins. Fa'ana dhamin man la yudhi'a min hasanatikum shay. I am a promiser for you, or one who gives guarantee to you that none of your good deeds will go to waste. وَيْحَكُمْ يَا أُمَّةَ مُحَمَّدٍ. Destruction or woe be upon you, the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That what is this? That you are quickly running towards your own destruction. هَؤُلَاءِ أَصْحَابِ أَصْحَابَهُ مُتَوَافِرُونَ. There are many of his companions that are still living today. وَهَذِهِ ثِيَابُهُ. And this is his clothing which has not torn away, which has not ripped away, which has not withered away. وَآنِيَتُهُ لَمْ تُكْسَرُ. And these are his utensils which have not been broken. Meaning, so you are so close after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions are still alive, and there's many of them. His clothes haven't even ripped away. They're still available, preserved for you to witness his clothing. And the utensils that he drank and he ate from are still in front of you. So quickly you've turned away from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِهِ إِنَّكُمْ لَعَلَى مِلَّةٍ هِيَ أَحْدَ مِنْ مِلَّةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are upon a methodology, a way that is better than the way of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Or you are opening up a door of dalala, a door of misguidance. قَالُوا وَاللَّهِ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ مَا أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا الْخَيْرِ O Abu Abd al-Rahman, the only thing we wanted is goodness. How many people today in their innovations think that they're doing something good? These people stated, we only wanted to do something good. And if you look at this, it's not a great innovation what these people were doing. But yet Abu Abd al-Rahman is teaching them a lesson. We wanted goodness. Then he said to them, قَالَ وَكَمْ مُرِيدِ الْخَيْرِ لَنْ يُصِيبَهُ And how many people want khayr? They never ever reach that khayr, never ever reach that goodness. You are following a methodology which is other than the methodology of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you find that in narrations it continues, that these are the same people that who will become those people who will fight against the Muslims. As Amr ibn Salama, رَأَيْنَا عَامَةَ أُولَئِكَ يُتَاعِنُونَنَا يَوْمَ النَّحْرَوَانِ مَعَ الْخَوَارِجِ We saw these people with Al-Khawarij, fighting against the believers. That from this small innovation, this innovation continued until the majority of the people who were with the Khawarij were with the same people who invented this innovation. That is the danger of innovation. It leads towards a following of your own intellect, your own mind, until eventually you would even spill the blood of the Muslims. That is the concept and the thought of the Khawarij, that they spill the blood of the Muslims. That they find it halal. That if Muslims are immense or emerged amongst the disbelievers of kuffar, and if they are killed, then that is justified. That is a thought amongst the thought of the people who are known as the Khawarij. And we find in another narration highlighting, talking about Imam Malik. A person came to Imam Malik and said to him, that where should I perform the ihram? Where should I wear the two garments of ihram? And he stated, فَقَالَ مِنَ الْمِيقَاتِ الَّذِي وُقِّتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ Take your ihram from one of the locations which the Prophet Muhammad SAW stated for us to take. If my memory serves me correct, there's five separate locations. Take it from one of those locations. The man stated, if I take it from min abad minhu, if I take it from a location which is further than one of these locations, what is wrong with this? Imam Malik stated, لا أرى ذلك. I don't find that that is possible. That is correct for you to take your own miqat, for you to take your own position. فَقَالَ مَا تَكْرَهَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ Why do you dislike that? What is the harm in taking another location which is much further? Is this not a sign of piety that coming from a further distance and then entering into the haram? More reward for the person who travels in that manner. قَالَ أَكْرَهُ عَلَيْكَ الْفِتْنَةَ I fear for you that some fitna will come upon you. There could be some trial or some calamity that could come upon you. قَالَ وَأَيُّ فِتْنَا فِي ازْدِيَادِ الْخَيْرِ How can there be fitna in the increase of goodness? Here is the place of the miqat, the location of entering into the state of ihram. If I go much further, isn't that khair? Isn't that goodness? Is the way he was trying to argue with his intellect towards Imam Malik. فَقَالَ مَالِكَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يَقُولُ Imam Malik made istinbat of this verse, made an extraction of this verse, that what you are upon is nothing but innovation. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ Let those people, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ Who go against his command, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةٌ That some fitna may come upon them, أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ Or some severe calamity come upon them. Imam Malik has been known to say that the fitna is shirk, the committing of shirk, and likewise the turmoil and tribulations, ibtila'at, that will come upon the individual. That every time you turn away from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will be tested. Fitna and trials will come upon you to highlight that you are upon a methodology other than the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa ayyu fitna a'zam? And what is the most greatest of fitna that you have opened up, that you have turned away from the fadl, the virtue of the Quran and the Sunnah, and to feel that you are following another methodology or a path which is better than the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we find that many of the ulama, that they refuted the people of Ahlul Bid'ah, beginning with aqa'id, beginning with beliefs. Because many people today, they write that the concept of refuting people of their beliefs is a new concept. Imam Ahmad radda ala Jahmiya. Imam Ahmad talked about the Jahmiya, the beliefs of the Jahmiya in his time. In the year 241, if my memory serves correct, when he passed away, he talked about the Jahmiya and their belief. Likewise, we find after that, Uthman ibn Sa'id ad-Darimi. He also refuted the belief of the Jahmiya, the aqa'id, the false belief that these people that they had. Then you have people like the works of Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Minhaj al-Sunnah. The way of the Sunnah is nothing but refuting the Shia, al-Rawafid, a whole volume work which refutes these people and their belief. And likewise, all of these books of aqa'id, al-Tadammuriyah, al-Aqidatul Wasatiyah, Aqidatul Hamawiyah, all these works, or Kitabul Iman, are clarifying what is the correct belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to let people know to stay away from such beliefs. Likewise, Radda ala Sufiyah, he refuted the belief of the Sufis, is the classical works of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And then you find his student, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah, also refuting amongst the people of innovation and the people who turned away from the correct creed. And then you find Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, in his famous book, Kitab al-Tawheed, is a refutation of those people who go against the belief of Ahlul Sunnah. All of them follow the same methodology. The name of the books may vary, but the path and the methodology is one, to highlight what is the belief of Firqatul Najiyah, what is the belief of the same sect, what is the belief of Ta'ifatul Mansura, what is the belief of that group that will be victorious, who cling to those teachings. Ma'ana alayhi wa ashabi, who are those victorious people? The companions asked the question, Man hum ya Rasulullah? Who are they, O Prophet of Allah? Qala ma ana alayhi al-yawm wa ashabi, what I am upon today and what my companions are upon today. That is the group of people who will be victorious. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّهُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ. If you believe as they believe, then indeed you will be upon the manifest true path. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا, and these people turn away, فَإِنَّهُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ, these people are at variance toward one another. That is the methodology that every single Muslim is trying to search for. What is the point in searching for new forms and ideas of Islam? That when these new forms of Islam will never ever make us victorious. Imam Malik clearly stated, whatever was deen on that day, should be deen today. In aspects of deen, should be following the same deen that was there at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even today, possibly your imam came across this verse today. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum, wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati, wa raditu lakum al-islamu deena. This day I've completed your deen for you, your way of life for you, and I've chosen for you Islam as your way of life. Conveyed all of my favors upon you. Many of the Sahaba are known that they took this day as a day of celebration. The Jews stated you should take this day as a celebration. If this verse was revealed to us. And some of them, they even wept. Because whatever reaches Kamal would only decrease one day. So they understood that after this verse is going to come the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the state of the fear of this ummah will begin to decrease and come down again. That is the point of Kamal, the point of some form of completion linguistically. As for Kamal in its totality, completeness, only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that all of these ulama, they refuted the way of the innovators. Then you find the books which talk specifically about innovations. One of the most greatest works that you find is Kitab al-I'tisam li Imam al-Shatibi, a two-volume book talking about all of the innovations that became apparent and a refutation of the innovations that exist in the Muslim Ummah. Kitab Iqtida'u Sirat al-Mustaqim fi mukhalafati ashab al-jahim, in the book by Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, The Straight Path and Differing from the People of the Hellfire, written by Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, also refutes, has a large portion or a portion or a juz dedicated to refuting the people of innovation. Likewise, you find Kitabu Inkar al-Hawadith wal-Bid'ah, well, the book of refutation of newly invented affairs and innovations, the Ibn Waddah. Kitab al-Hawadith wal-Bid'ah li-Tartushi, Kitab al-Ba'ith al-Inkar al-Bid'ah wal-Hawadith li-Abi Shama. All various works that you can find refuting the way of the Mubtadi'ah. Then you find al-Mu'assirin, contemporary ulama, Kitab al-Ibda' fi madar al-Ibtida' li-Sheikh Ali Mahfouz, talking about the innovators and the stance of the innovators. Kitab al-Sunan wal-Mubtadi'at al-Muta'alliqa bil-Adhkar wa salawat li-Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ahmad al-Shaqiri al-Hawaymadi. Risalatu tahzir min al-Bid' li-Sheikh Ibn Baz rahmatullahi alayh. So all many works have been written talking about innovation, the concept of innovation, the development of innovation, and how to stay away from innovations. وَلَا يَزَالُ عُلَمَاءُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And forever you'll find that the scholars amongst the Muslims will be writing, walhamdulillah, يُنْكِرُونَ الْبِدْ, will be refuting innovation. Throughout their stages, you'll find them forever, the certain ulama who will stand and refute the innovations which come apparent inside this ummah. Then we find, in conclusion, some of the namadij, some of the examples of the innovations which exist today. That many people will follow these innovations and is rampant amongst the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first that we find, ihtifal bi mawlid nabawi, the celebration of the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At-tabarruk bil amakin wal athar wal amwat wa nahwi dhalik, seeking blessings from the places and the locations of the dead people and its like. Likewise, we find the innovation fi majal al ibadat wa taqarrub ila Allah, innovation in worship, in seeking to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find that there are many of the innovations that exist today. And we find that most of these innovations, wal mukhalafat, are none other than at-tashabbu bil kuffar, are imitating the way of the disbelievers. And that's why you find clearly inside the hadith that tattabi'anna sanana man kana qablakum. Indeed, you will follow the methodology and the way and the path of the people that came before you. Until if one of them was to go into a lizard's hole, you would go down into the lizard hole as well. قَالُوا مَنْ فَمَنْ قَالَ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَى. None other than the Jews and the Christians. And another narration, Arum wa Faris, the Romans and the Persians. So you'll find that this ummah will begin to imitate these people. That if one of them was to go down in a lizard's hole, then know for a fact someone in his Muslim ummah will imitate them and go down that lizard's hole as well, to see what khair or goodness is inside there. We should be careful in making imitation or making tashbih of these people and following their methodology and their understanding. وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَحُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. The Jews and the Christians will never ever be happy with you until you follow their millah, until you follow their methodology, their understanding of life, their perception of life. That you should follow that. That is the only time that these people will ever be happy with you. As for al-ihtifal, the celebration of the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what these people that they celebrate, most of it is based upon the intellect. That they celebrate the birthday of Isa ibn Maryam, so we should celebrate the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tashbihan bin Nasara, imitation of the Christians is this celebration what these people are doing. And we find لا يخلو من وجود الشركيات. The majority of these celebrations are full of shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والمنكرات, and evil actions that these people perform. كإنشاد القصائد, and the singing of these anashid, and the singing of these poetry songs and praises, excessive praises of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, التي فيها الغلو في حق الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. And in these qasa'id, in these poetry songs and praises that these people make, are nothing but ghulu, excessive praise of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. If you read the burda, the mantle, the cloak, you find in this it's only but excessive praise of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, praising him that he has even وَعِنَّكَ الْعِلْمُ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ, you have the knowledge of the pen and of the tablet. This is only something belonging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. غَيْبُ الْمُطْلَقُ only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To attribute such lines of poetry, of qasa'il, of praise to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is written by Al-Busari, this famous burda which has been translated as well into English language, is nothing full of shirk at times. Excessive praise and ghulu of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you find ila darajati du'a'ihi min dunillah, eventually these people begin to pray to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam like they should be praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wal istighatha bihi, and to such a degree that some people even begin to seek the aid and assistance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is nothing but shirk. Aid and assistance, what we recite at least 17 times a day, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, you alone we worship and thy alone your assistance do we seek. So if you begin to seek the assistance of something else, of the creation, then you are beginning to commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise we find even the hadith itself states, Do not praise me like the Christians praised Ibn Maryam. Innama ana abdun. Indeed, I am only a servant. So call me Abdullah wa Rasuluhu. Call me the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these ahadith in nature are ahadith that the ulama of hadith have collected and highlighted are towards the final days of his life. That is the science of hadith. To place the ahadith in clarity, to give you a better perception and understanding. He made these words towards the end of his life. Why did he narrate these words? To highlight that people will come after him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who will begin to praise him excessively. Who will begin to praise him like the Christians praised Isa ibn Maryam. And take his place as a place of Eid. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved that location, that the place of the Prophet Muhammad is not taken as a place of celebration. But if it was placed inside their hand, they would definitely make it a place of celebration. And that's why many of the Salaf they've written, many of the Sahaba highlighted, that what people go and perform of touching of the grave today, of rubbing of the grave, of making dua and supplication towards the grave, that was never practiced amongst the pious people. Are we more beloved, or is the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ more beloved to us than the companions, who are ready to sacrifice their life, ta'zeeman lahu, in praise of him, in glorification of him, in the justified glorification of him, they're willing to sacrifice their life for him. Yet can we excel them in their love and their affection they had towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And we find al-itra is al-ghulu fil madh, is excessive praise of an individual. وَرُبَّمَا يَأْتَقِدُونَ أَنَّ الرَّسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ يَحْذُرْ إِحْتِفَالَاتِهِمْ. And some of them believe that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ enters upon their celebration. This is a belief that they believe in. That some of them even place a chair and believe that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ enters into this gathering. And some of them we will state, قُومُوا لِلْرَسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمْ. Stand up for the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. This is nothing but blasphemy towards the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That stand up for him, that now he is entering yani upon us. And likewise we find that min al munkarat, the evil things that will happen, al anashid al jama'iyya, singing these anashid together in congregation. And likewise we find even the use of tabal, the use of the drum in the singing of these excessive praises of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise we find at times adhkar al sufiyya al bid'iyya, the adhkar of the way of the Sufiya, the Sufis who go against the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَقَدْ يَكُونَ فِيهَا اِخْتِلَاطٌ بَيْنَ الرِّجَالِ وَالنِّسَاءِ. And at times you may find the mixing of men and women in these celebrations of the praise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even these things don't exist. Even there's no anashid, there's no tabal, there's no drum, there's no mixing of men and women, it is still a bid'ah. It is still an innovation to get together and celebrate the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the hadith is clear, وَكُلُّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. Every single newly affaired is a bid'ah. And every single bid'ah and every single innovation is a misguidance, and every form of misguidance is nothing but inside the fire. وَقُلْنَا إِنَّهُ بِدْعَةٍ لِأَنَّهُ لَا أَصْلٌ لَهُ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَالسُنَّةِ. And we state it's an innovation because there is no authentic text from the Quran and the Sunnah which highlights the practice or the celebration of the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, it was something which was invented in the time of the Fatimiyun, in the time of the Fatimid Caliphate, under the influence of the Shia. And some people talk about the influence of the Christians that this celebration began to take place. Shaykh Rusab ibn Taymiyyah highlights as well that how can these people begin to claim their love of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than a love of the companions. فَإِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا أَشَدَّ مُحَبَّةً لِلنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. These people had excessive amount of love for the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني in his اتباع of him, in the imitation of him, وَتَعَتُهُ, and their obedience towards the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And likewise you find in their appearance, ظاهراً وباطناً, in their sunnah appearance externally and their hidden attribute towards the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And you find that many of the ulama have written about this innovation, and all this innovation, all that it does, فَيُفْتَحْ أَبْوَابْ شَرْ كَثِيرًا. It opens up the doors of many other innovations. That when people begin to believe in the celebration of the birthday of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, The second common innovation that we find, التبرك بالأماكن والآثار والأشخاص أحياء وأمواتا. You find to seek the places, to seek blessing from certain locations and the remnants of certain people who are living or dead. To seek تبرك, to seek blessing from the remnants of التبرك, طلب البركة. وهي ثبوت الخير في الشيء وزيادته. البركة, or the seeking of baraka, is the establishment of khayr fi shay or ziyadatuhu, or the increasing of something good. The establishment of khayr and the establishment of ziyada is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not in the hands of any individual. So the concept of baraka returns back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Does not return back to that individual. That is the way of Ahlu Sunnah. It's a creed that one should hold inside one's heart, that the baraka only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أما المخلوق فإنه لا يقدر على منح البركة. As for the creation, it has no ability to give any form of baraka, to bestow any form of baraka upon any individual. فالتبرك بالأماكن والآثار والأشخاص أحياء وأمواتا لا يجوز لأنه إما شرك. To seek blessing from a location or the leftover remnants of an individual or from a people, لا يجوز إن لأنه إما شرك, either it's going to be shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this is a thing that could lead to shirk. Your belief in this individual and the remnants and the blessing of this individual could lead you to commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you find, as for those narrations which talk about seeking the blessing of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the athar of wudu, the remnants of the water which he performed from wudu, from the a strand of his beard, from his lihya, and all these other things that you find about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ulama concluded, هذا كان خاصا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في وقت حياته. This is specific to him when he was living. Only when he was living. As for after his death, nobody can use anything. Some people, they claim they have a strand of his hair. They have his cloak. They have strands of his shoe. There is no form of barakah which can be taken from these objects after the death of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's the creed of Ahlul Sunnah. That barakah only existed whilst he was living with them. Once he's been taken away, there is no form of barakah for these people, what they believe in. And you find likewise that none of the sahaba, ما كانوا يتبركون, none of the sahaba would ever go to his room and never go to his grave where he's buried. Read through the seerah of all of the companions. And like these people, they'll go that this is the place where so and so died. This must be a blessed location. Ya Aqbiya al-Nas, O foolish people, if there's any place for the individual to go, it makes sense to go to the locations of where the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ slept, where he stood, where he walked, where he talked, where he rested. It makes more sense to go to his locations, but yet we find that the companions never ever went to those locations. Never ever sought tabarruk from those locations. So how can you go to locations of people who are less than the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and say, this is a blessed location. This is a place of Sheikh Fulan wa Allan. This is a location of so-and-so Sheikh who lived here, who rested here. That is against the creed of Ahlul Sunnah. You're not allowed to use the places of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, so how can you use the places of the righteous people? It's going against the aql, going against the intellect. So now you're giving more tashrif, more honor and nobility to such people above the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, you find to go to Ghar Hira, to go to the cave of Hira where revelation came back. And the ulama concluded that when revelation came, after that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never ever returned back to that cave. But if a person goes as a form of ibrah, just to see that location, then there's no harm in that. But as for people to enter into that cave and to begin to pray units of prayer, to begin to perform ibadah, to begin to perform dua, then this is an innovation. To go to Atur, to go to the location where revelation was given to Musa alayhi salam, and to believe that this is a blessed location where revelation came, we need to stand there and pray there. This is a bid'ah. This is an innovation. But just to go there and see the location, there is no haraj. But to believe that acts of worship need to be performed there, and there is khair and blessing in that set location, then this becomes an innovation. And likewise, to seek out the places of where the salihin died, where they passed away, where they are buried. Because many people have this belief, they will travel excessively to the graves of the salihin and feel that this is a duty that belongs to these people. If there's any journey that you want to make, then there should be only to three masajid. The house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Masjid al-Aqsa. That is the only three locations one should strive and struggle to travel to those locations. As for this journeying that you find many people perform, that we're going to Baghdad Sharif, Ajmer Sharif, Lahore, all these places full of bid'ah and shirk, then this is against the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah. Or we're traveling to the grave of where they claim is the head of Hussein, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Or we're traveling to the place of Badawi, in Misr. All these locations, or the tomb of Imam Shafi'i. Whether the tomb is there or not, is besides the point. No one should make excessive journey, especially to these locations, unless they're present and just as a form of traveling, they may wish to visit these locations and see these locations. But as for what people perform, special journeys to these locations is a form of shirk and going against the teachings of Ahlul Sunnah. So we find, وَلَا الْمَوْضِعَ الَّذِي صَلَّى فِيهِ بِمَكَّةَ وَخَيْرِهَا, that when people go and seek the places of where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed, or where he traveled, or where he walked, or to touch these places, is against the sunnah and the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And likewise, we find to kiss such locations is against the teachings, except for the kissing of the black stone, which is something which has been confirmed inside the sunnah. But even the kissing of the black stone, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu stated, the only reason why I'm kissing you is because I saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam kiss you. That's the only reason. And some people have mentioned the narrations that it will stand as a witness for you in the day of judgment. So many people will fight. وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ, will strive and struggle to get to the black stone. When to kiss the black stone is only sunnah. But to harm your Muslim brother and to spill blood and to cause hardship upon them is more difficult than killing them. So people should bear in mind the etiquette of going to something which is sunnah and preserving that which is a fard or that which is an obligation upon the people. And we find another bid'ah, an innovation that we find. The hadith is quite clear. مَنْ عَمَلَ عَمِلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Whoever does an action which does not have a command, our stamp of approval upon it, then that is to be rejected. Another innovation that we find is جَهْرُ النِّيَّةِ, the proclamation of the intention. نَوَيْتُ أَنْ أُصَلِّي نَوَيْتُ أَنْ أَصُومَ غَدًا, that I have the intention of praying, I have the intention of fasting tomorrow. All of these are innovations. The only time you make al-jahr bin niyyah, the only time you say your intention at vocally, shafawiyan, is عند al-umrah or al-hajj. At the time of performing umrah or at the time of performing hajj. Apart from that, never ever should an individual perform the intention, state, I'm about to pray behind this imam, or I'm about to fast the month of Ramadan. As you find in the Quran, قُلَ تُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ, are you trying to let know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what is your deen? وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows whatever is in the heavens and in the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware or has knowledge of everything. قُلْ أَتُعَلِّمُونَ اللَّهَ بِدِينِكُمْ, are you trying to announce or tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what is your deen? What is your religion? What is your intention? So وَالنِّيَّ مَحَلُّهَا الْقَلْبِ, the place of the intention is nothing but the heart. That is the place of where one's intention is and should not be proclaimed. It is unfortunately an innovation which has become abundant and rampant amongst the Muslims that they perform their intentions upon their tongues. Likewise, we find the other forms of azkar, of dhikr that people perform in congregation is against the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, we find talab qira'atul fatiha, the reading of the al-fatiha at the time of dua, time of death, time of celebrations, or the gathering of people upon food and upon dead people, and to gather upon food and recitation of the Quran. The clear stance, all of this is innovation. The Quran has not been sent upon amwata, has not been sent upon the dead people. The Quran is sent for living people. Even though the ulama who may allow the recitation of the Quran upon the amwat, they still conclude there is no conclusive evidence that reward will go towards that dead person. And the clearest stance is, and this is what I'm not one to lean to anything, but the clearest stance is that this should be avoided. The Quran should only be recited for huda, for guidance. What we are reciting at the moment, شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ. The Ramadan is the month which by the Quran was sent down. هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ, guidance for mankind. Huda can only come for those people who are ahya, who are living. Guidance is not given to people who are dead. Because this concept of passing the Quran towards a dead people, what does it mean? It means a person who's a millionaire can buy the Quran. Nobody can buy Al-Jannah. Nobody can buy Jannah. And we find that even today, what was read, that these people say, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُ. We are the children of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are the ones beloved to Him. قُلْ فَلِمَا يُعَذِّبُكُمْ بِذُنُوبِكُمْ. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish you? بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بَشَرٌ مِمَّنْ خَلَقٍ. But indeed you are only human beings that He has created, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this concept that people who are rich can buy paradise today, which is against the people who live according to the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah, that you can leave money behind, leave a testimony behind, leave a legacy behind, that when I pass away, then get the people to read the Quran 1,000 times. Is this possibly true, that these people will enter into paradise? Totally unacceptable that such people should enter into paradise because other people have read the Quran for them. So the Quran is only hudan, is only guidance for the people who are living, and we are the ones that should take that guidance and implement it into our life. And not to fulfill the obligation of those people who gather people for the sake of the dead people and the recitation of the Quran. We should stay far away from such innovation and such people who call to such gatherings of reading upon the dead people and believing that this will be a form of ajr and reward towards those people. Likewise, we find other gatherings, كَمُنَاسِبَةِ الْإِسْرَى وَالْمِعْرَاجِ, the celebration or gathering of al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, and likewise al-Hijra al-Nabawiyyah, and the days when the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ performed the Hijra. People get together on these gatherings as a form of remembrance. This all leads to innovation. We don't have set days that we perform remembrance of certain actions. Our set days are the two Eids, days of enjoyment. The rest of the days, every single day, is a day of sticking to the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. If you want to follow these set days, then I guarantee you that every single day in the Islamic calendar will be a day for you to remember. Either the birth of a great companion, the death of a great companion, the victory of Makkah, the victory of Badr, the war of Uhud, of Hunayn, the day of Khalid ibn Walid being victorious in Mut'ah. All of this you find, all these concepts you can find every single day in Tariq al-Islami, you can find a day that we need to celebrate. But we only stick to the 2 days. So this will lead to more and more innovations that people will begin to celebrate and implement their own days. And likewise we find, unfortunately, Adhkar al-Sufiyah. The remembrance and the dhikr of what these people have begun to implement into the teachings of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise we find the celebration of Nisf al-Sha'ban, the 15th day or the 14th night of Sha'ban, whereby people will stand and pray and then fast the following day. This is nothing but innovation. In the month of Rajab, people begin to fast excessively, pray excessively, believing that actions of khayr need to be excelled inside the month of Rajab. Likewise, we find the building upon the graves, the building of these great big buildings upon the graves, and to take them as a place of masajid, to take these as places of prayer. And don't be shocked that many of the people who are intellectual, many people inside places of authority have no believe there's no problem with this. In my recent journey to Misr recently, and I questioned the Imam, posed a question to him that why are there so many graves inside the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I stated to him, look, there are many people who are new Muslims here who believe that this is a concept of Christianity, of placing the righteous people inside the graves. He stated, there's nothing wrong with this. Why don't you leave these people alone? فَإِنَّ هَذَا قَبَرْ فِي الزَّاوِيَةِ. This qabr is at one side. You are facing in one direction the qibla, the qabr is behind you. There's no haraj in this. There is no harm in this. But there is a great harm in this, because this is what leads to shirk. We are not allowed to pray inside the masjid where there is a qabr. And he said that this has been established many years ago. Then I posed to him that the Shah of Iran has been buried inside one of the masjids built by one of the sultans. Ali Pasha, one of the masjid, my memory can't recall at the moment, a grave that I visualized myself. So when he passed away, his body was taken and placed inside his grave, which was built in the 18th or the beginning of the 19th century. How do you justify this today? Okay, previously people were buried there and the masjid was there. But now this is a recent grave that you've entered inside the masjid. And now you are still allowing people to worship inside this masjid. What is the difference between the Kanisa, a church and a masjid now? What difference is left now? They bury their Salihin inside the Kanisa, inside the church. And now Muslims are beginning to bury their Salihin. And in one masjid in specific, you find that the grave is in front of the mihrab. There's a wall there, but the grave is beyond the mihrab. But it's right in front of the way in your direction of prayer. And this can be visualized. So when people talk about the call of Tawheed, of removing of these graves, even amongst the land of the Arabs, the people who speak the Arabic language, people understand the Quran, people say, just never mind, leave it alone. How can we leave it alone? This is a pinnacle point of belief, a concept that could either lead to kufr or lead to iman. Clear cut as that. A qawm, a people will never be successful who cling to towards kufr, towards disbelief, especially in aspects of aqa'id and in aspects yani, of belief. And in conclusion that we find, as we mentioned previously, that bid'ah is the most strongest form of ma'asiyah, the most strongest form of disobedience. When all of us commit a sin, at some stage or another, we recognize we are in a state of sin, and the individual will repent. As Imam Sufyan al-Thawri mentioned, that the bid'ah, the innovation, is more beloved to shaitan than ma'asiyah, than a disobedience. Why does shaitan love innovation? Because he knows the innovator will never ever repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the one who is the one who commits the sin will one day eventually repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالشَّيْطَانِ يَفْرَحُ بِهَا. Shaitan gets happy with a person who commits an innovation. So we find, وَالْبِدْعَ تُبَاعِدْ عَنِ اللَّهِ عَنِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Innovation only takes you far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not bring you closer to Him. Opens up the ghadab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is open upon such people. وَتُسَبِّبْ زَيْغُ الْقُلُوبِ. And the reason for the hearts to become hardened, وَفَسَادُهَا. And the hearts to be full of corruption is this following of this methodology of innovations. And likewise we find, مَا يُعَامِلْ بِهِ الْمُبْتَدِعَ. What is the way that we should deal towards these people who are classified as the innovators? تَحَرَّمْ زِيَارَةُ الْمُبْتَدِعِ. It is forbidden to visit the people of innovations unless it is to warn these people of the innovation what these people are upon. وَجْحُ النَّصِيحَ. The only reason is to advise these people that you are people who are upon an innovation and to speak about them. وَالْإِنْكَارُ عَلَيْهِ. And to refute these people and what their beliefs are. لِأَنَّ مُخَالَتَهُ تُؤَثِّرْ عَلَى مُخَالَتُهِ شَرًّا. Because to mix with these people will lead to mixing of evil. Till eventually you'll find no distinction between khayr and shar, that people will begin to label you, that you sit with such people who follow these evil teachings and these evil concepts. That does not mean that we become unjust people. We give every single individual their right. We teach people with the sunnah. أُدْعُ إِلَىٰ سَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِدَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. Call all to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with hikmah and maw'idah, and fair admonition and good decisive preaching. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. And debate with them in that which is good. These are the ayat which are talking about the Nasara, the Christians, and the Jews, to debate with them in a good manner. So even more so, that when we debate with the Muslims, we should debate with them in a mild and a conclusive and a just manner, to highlight to them, this is against the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Quite simply, you are either upon the way of the sunnah, or you are upon a methodology which is better than sunnah. You are people who love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam more, or the companions are the ones that love him more sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in conclusion, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in discussions that we had about Tawheed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us come closer to Him. As we mentioned in the beginning, the whole point of the discussion of the Dirasat al-Tawheed is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the clear evidences He has laid down inside the Quran and the Sunnah, to become more observant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become more observant in our worship, in our ibadah, in our da'wah as well, in our call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are more committed and we know what we are calling towards upon basira, calling upon evidence and clear sure sight vision, that we are able to teach people that this is the correct teaching, this is the correct aqidah that people should know and what they should be following. And all of this that we have been possible to do has been the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every opening of khair and every single word of goodness that has been uttered from my mouth has only come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-insan is da'if, is weak. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaftah ala al-qulub wal-aqul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who opens up the heart, opens up the mind. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهُ. You fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then He will teach you. And give you the perception to make istimbat, to make istikhrat, to extract the benefits, the fawa'il, to take out the pearls and the blessings of the Qur'an and the sunnah, and to disseminate to the people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala place all of these words of hasanat in our mizan of hasanat, and make these words come to us on the day of judgment. إِلَّا مَنْ أَطَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. And make these words, make our heart become pure and rectified, that we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that pure heart. That all of these words only increase us in khushu, in submissiveness, and in the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything evil, anything incorrect, anything out of context, anything defaming any individual or a group of people has only been from my own words and the whisperings of shaitan and my lack of own knowledge. And I seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly, and then from mankind, of insulting any individual, whether it be the people of Sufiya that I talked about. I did not mention any names in specific, but just the general concepts that they highlight and they believe in. Because we do believe in the way of the Sufiya. Those people are true in their form of tazkiyah, in the tazkiyah of the Quran and the Sunnah. Because Islam is nothing but tazkiyah, which many people of the Sunnah fail to understand. Tazkiyatul qulub wa nafs is a most parallel point of al-Islam, that we need to return back to that form of tazkiyah. The only reason that we talk about a tasawwuf, or the incorrect form of tasawwuf, are what many people are inclining to today, and turning away from the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of our efforts, and bless all of your efforts, and make us amongst those people who take the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and benefit from the best of those words. وَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ بَارَكَ اللَّهُ فِيكُمْ